It's not always winter. There's spring. People love spring. That's a fun day. What a lie spring is, right? I spend the entire spring waiting for it to be spring, right? You're like, is it spring? No, it's snowing. Next day, you're like, is it spring? No, it's 90 degrees. I guess we miss those tiny white flowers.
It's 7:07 at WRJN Radio. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday, March 20th. We've got some elections coming up soon on April. Is it April 2nd? April 2nd, okay. Molly Jones is with me here, the incumbent, and she's running for office again for the 2nd Alder District. It took me so long not to say alderman. Then I was alder woman. Then I was alder person. And now I'm told it's alder. And believe me, it's so difficult for me to stop at Alder and just end it right there. But that's what it's called now, right? Alder.
Yes. But you can still say Alder person, Alder woman.
When did this all stop? When did we change to Alder? What was I, in a coma? When does this all happen?
I think it started a few years ago
when more women
became council people. And so aldermen.
Right, but I thought Alder person would have been nice.
It was.
But now it's just Alder. It sounds like we're only using half the word. And it takes me so long to get used to something. And since when I talk on the radio, I'm like an autopilot half the time, so it doesn't always come out. But I'm getting used to it now. 2nd Alder District, right?
Yes.
Alder District. All right, I like it. It's got a short ring to it, short sound to it. Now, the 2nd Alder District is, let me see if I got it right here. It's along the lakefront, and it's from 11th Street down to what, 21st,
Caron Butler Drive.
Okay.
But it does split off different there.
Yeah.
When we get to Center Street on Caron Butler Drive, we go across, and that's still Racine. But if you come west, you're Mount Pleasant once you cross Caron Butler Drive.
Man, you got the whole thing laid out on. And you can't miss anybody because those are the people in your district. You gotta say, hey, how you doing? What do you want? How many potholes you need fixed? So give us a little rundown about your life. Tell us a little bit about you for people that don't know who Molly Jones is. I was reading a little bit about you, and you've got a little interesting life there. Well, you worked for all these years. Where were you born, first of all?
I'm a transplant. I was born in a little town called Enterprise, Mississippi.
Enterprise, Mississippi.
Yes.
Quick Mississippi story, because I'll forget. We were going on vacation once. And I said to my wife, where are you going to take us? We're going through Mississippi. Now, I thought maybe we'll through a little bit. We went from the top of the state through the bottom of the state. I mean, we went through the entire state. We stopped over. I think we stopped overnight there, too. And I didn't know what to expect because I'm talking to a New Yorker here. I didn't know what to expect. I heard stories about Mississippi growing up. And I said, oh, no. What a lovely, beautiful state. A lot of factories there, too. There was this car factory. It went on for about a mile, it seemed like. But the people were just wonderful to us there. We went to a whole bunch of historic sites, and I loved it. So where was Enterprise? Is Enterprise, Mississippi?
Enterprise, Mississippi, it's about 18 miles south of Meridian, probably about 80 miles southeast of Jackson.
Okay, so
very small town.
Yeah, people, I mean, I grew up in a small town, too. You know, New York, 18 million people. Small town. Actually, I grew up in a small town called Massapequa. I didn't really grow up there. So, how old were you when you left Mississippi?
20.
Oh, so you were there for high school. And
2 years of college.
2 years of college. What brought you to Wisconsin? Was it Wisconsin right after Mississippi?
Yes.
So what brought you here?
Visiting a sister.
Okay.
Met a young man, and I wound up staying and getting married.
I thought you got tired of the nice weather, and you decided to move north for the freezing cold below zero.
No.
That wasn't the reason?
No. The weather here was very brutal. The first year I came, it snowed almost like every day because I came in 1966.
Okay.
And it was a really bad winter that year.
Yeah, that, you know, especially if you're from the South, the first time you come here and experience a bad winter, it's like, whoa, where did I move to? All right, so you came here and you were 20 years old. What'd you do when you got here?
Looked for a job. But at the time, the market was very slow. So I actually found a job in a little place called Metal Parts. They made little motors for airplanes. And I needed a job. My parents always taught me to work.
You're talking about model planes?
No.
Big planes?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so I worked there for like a year and a half.
All right.
Because the market was not very well for jobs at that time. Because I had I have an associate degree from Meridian Junior College in Meridian, Mississippi. And it was for Secretary of Science. But at the time, no one was really hiring. And I was living with my sister. So I found that job. Paying 75 cents an hour. And I worked there for a year and a half.
Wow. Now, did you have any jobs when you were in Mississippi? Any other jobs before then?
Not really.
Okay.
I actually worked in the fields when I was in Mississippi.
Okay. All right. So you worked there for a year and a half. What happened after that?
Well, I got married. And I found another job at, I don't know if you've heard the place, Foundry Allied, Wisconsin Pattern.
Mm-mm.
I worked there as a receptionist. It's on 18th Street. And I worked there for, let's see, till 72.
I'm doing the math here. Carry the one, hold on, two.
I started.
Square root of three. I'm trying to figure out how long you were there. About 6 years, 5 years?
Something like that.
Okay.
And I left there because I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. And that didn't work out. So I started looking for a job, and I found a job at Case Corporation in 1972. I started there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, 73.
And you were there a long time.
33 years.
33 years. Oh,
33 wow. Years I was at Case.
Wow. And you left there in what year?
In 2006, I retired.
Oh, wow. 33 years.
Yes.
That's like a lifetime.
It was a good place to work.
Case. A lot of people I know work at Case. I mean, and they're there for life. They must treat their employees pretty well.
They do.
That's Case New Holland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, but it used to be just J.I. Case.
Yeah, now, where did you work? Where was the, on the Highway 11 or on the, down by the lakefront?
Different places.
Okay.
Because our department, I worked in IT. They didn't know what to do with us at first. Because IT was new.
Okay.
Once we start to be into the computer age. So they kept moving the staff to different locations. I worked at Case South for 10 years. Worked at Case West on Highway 20. I also worked at the transmission plant for maybe a couple of years. Actually, our department went to the Garfield building. You know, that's the one that was right in front of the main building. We worked there for maybe a year or so because they were again trying to find us a home. So they were renovating Case West. And so we stayed there almost a year and we moved back to Case West. So when I retired, I was at Case West.
Now you retired, but you didn't really retire. You retired from Case.
Retired from Case, but at the same time, I was also doing part-time at Boston Store. So I stayed there.
For how many years?
Until 2014. So I started in 2000, and I stayed there until 2014.
That's the Boston Store at Regency?
Yes.
What do you feel now about it? Do you see it lately?
I actually went out to the groundbreaking for Woodman's Market.
Yeah.
And the machine actually pulled part of it down.
I know. How do you feel when you see that?
It was different. There was a few of us there that had worked at Boston Store.
Well, you see all the years you spent there, and then it's knocking it down.
Pulling it down, but something better should be coming along because there was no one there.
You know, I drove by there. I was talking to Melissa Caprillion, and that was the day they started to tear it down. So I drove by there. They didn't tear the outside walls down at the time, just the inside was gone. So the top level was gone. And I figured all the times I was there at that Boston store over the years. Sometimes we even broadcast from there, and now they're tearing it down. Everything new is old again. They're just tearing it down.
Well, as they say, they're going to build something hopefully better.
You know what's interesting? When downtowns were the lifeblood of cities like Racine, everything was downtown, then they started building these malls. They're being torn down, but the downtown is still there.
Yes.
I mean, it's like radio. When they came up with TV, radio's gone. Forget about radio. TV's coming around. Then they came out with cable. Oh, TV and radio are gone. Cable's coming. Radio's still here. We're like the cockroaches of communication. You can't get rid of us. All right, so we're going to talk about, when did you decide to get into politics?
2015, the previous alder, husband was being transferred. And so she approached me one day and asked me if I would like to run for alderman district. And I said, I don't know anything about being an alder. And she said, you'll be fine. It's not that hard. And I said, do I have time to think about it? And she said, yes, I'm going on vacation. So when I return, I will see if you've changed your mind. So she came back. And then another few people, like Neighborhood Watch people, they also encouraged me to work. And there was, to run, rather. And there were a few other people that encouraged me. So at the time, it would be an appointment because she left midterm. Mm. And so I had to go before the council, and they asked questions, and there were six of us. And I was like, oh, goodness, some of these people may be, you know, more politically inclined because I've never done anything like this before. And I won.
You know, some of the best people in politics are the people who've never done it before.
No.
Because you aren't spoiled yet. That's a clean slate when you get in there. You don't have set ways. So hold on a second. I'm going to talk more about this, how you got started and where we are today. And you're running again for the second Alder District again. So we're talking to Molly Jones this morning. She is our second Alder District Alder person, Alder. Sometimes it just slips out. I can't stop it. She's our second Alder for the district, and she's running again for the election. Is coming up April 2th. So we'll talk more about that in a moment. It's 7:19 at WRJN Radio. We're looking for sunshine today with a high near 36. On this first full day of spring, clear tonight, lows 23, partly sunny, highs near 35 tomorrow. Right now the sun's coming up. It's 33 degrees and gorgeous this morning. 7:19, I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here at WRJN Hometown Radio, refreshed, a civic media station. WRJN Radio, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. Molly Jones running for the second Alder District job again. You're an incumbent. How long have you been doing that job for, by the way?
Since 2015.
Oh, more math. Hold on. Let's carry the two. Hold on. I got it here.
I'm in my actually eighth year.
Hold on. Don't stop me here. Oh. It's two, carry the two, divided by three, 9 years?
Eighth year. Been elected, but I spent 8 months. Okay. Appointed.
All right. It takes me a lot. I can't do math without a calculator.
I was appointed in August of 2015.
Well, that's right. Came in midterm.
Yes.
Yeah.
August of 2015, and the election was held in April of 2016 when I had to run if I wanted to retain the seat.
You like doing it?
Yes.
Good for you. Good for you. It's always good to have somebody doing what they want to do and have a good time doing it. Okay. So why do you want to run again?
Because there are some things that I started that I would like to finish, such as College Avenue. That's our 120-year-old brick street in the historic district. They had paved three intersections, 16th, 17th, and 18th, with asphalt. And the residents on that street are very passionate about the bricks. Most of them will tell you they moved to there because of the bricks. And those bricks were laid in 1896 or 95, something like that. And they've never been replaced. So think of all the streets in Racine that have been replaced multiple times, and the bricks are still holding. Now, we have some depression in some of them. That's the next challenge. But we're finally able to get the three intersection paved with bricks again. And so now we're going to work in 24 on the depression because it's sinking in some places on there. Some are pretty bad, but we want to work on those. Also, the curbing needs replacing in spots, and it's limestone, which is not your regular cement. So we need to see how much that would cost, and then we'll have to try to figure out how we're going to pay for it. On regular streets, the homeowners, abutting property owners, usually pay for the street when it's being paved. But since this is an unusual street, we try and come up with some funding, or we'll see if the residents want to chip in and pay like the other residents. We haven't quite figured that out yet, but we just know we have to fix the depressions in the street because it's sinking like potholes, but they're not potholes.
I run over the cobblestones, the bricks, every day on the way home when I'm going down 16th Street and I cross over College. You hit that little tiny section. And it is so quaint looking, especially in fall when you're looking down the street and all the trees are changing color. It's like stepping back in time.
Yes.
The only thing missing is a horse and buggy on the street. Put that on there and we're literally back to the 1800s.
Well, we still have some of the horse, I'm not sure what the name of them
hitching are posts?
Yes.
Yeah.
That are on the street.
Yeah, I know. I've seen them. Yeah. Some of the old hitching posts are still there. I mean, my house is over 114 years old before cars were here. And the reason I don't have a garage is because it was probably a horse and not a car. So they never built a garage on the house. Okay, so that's part of your district. That's what you're looking for. I have some items I want your opinion on. And let's talk about the big one, the big C, crime. It's on everybody's mind. I mean, there's not one place you can live in America. I don't care if you're living in the most expensive neighborhood in the world. You still have crime. I mean, I watch enough Dateline on TV to know that there's crime in the most ritziest neighborhoods in America, not just the poorest neighborhoods. So it's there everywhere. And I don't think we're ever going to get rid of it, but what's your opinion on how to curb it just a little bit?
I think we're better as the police department now is getting back to full staff. We are actually down in crime in my district and the city, according to the COP officer in my district. And Chief Ramirez just said it the other night, we're actually down. They reorganize in the police department now, so they are also partnering with other agencies within the area, like Mount Pleasant, Caledonia, and they're also partnering with FBI and those organizations. And they have what's called a data analyst that are putting different crimes into computers so they can better tell you if somebody shot a gun or shot at you, perhaps, in Racine, and they get that casing. They pick that casing up, take it into the station. They can log it in and pull up data that can say, this casing was used for a crime down in Chicago.
Wow, okay.
Yes, so that's some of the new technology that we have within the department, and hopefully that's going to help curb some of the violence that's going on. Although we don't have as much as we've had in previous years. In the second district at one time, back in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of crime in the second district. But now we don't have as much. We were having a lot of car thefts a couple years ago, but that has diminished almost to zero now. You don't hear of it that much, according to officer neighbors. We have porch pirates, as we call them, that steal packages off the porch. Those were the highest ones we had in the area. We've had a couple of homicides in our area over the years. Not as many as some people may think, but anytime you have a murder, people get really upset.
But and rightfully so.
Yes, yeah. But you don't have a murderer every day or every month, even every year. But once in a while, you do have one.
And you're not going to get rid of crime. It's just it's going to be here since the days of, you know, Cain and Abel. I mean, there was that was a murder when the world first started. So it's always going to be here in one shape or form or another. The idea is, how do you make it less and less, and how do you protect yourself from it? And you know, you gotta like with porch pirates, you gotta find a way to get your packages somewhere else, than sitting on the porch, or have a neighbor, if they look out and they see a package, take it in for you. Cars, you could put clubs on the cars. People, you know, won't steal your car if they see a club on the wheel. You know, I was reading a thing about stolen cars, and they said put the club on, but make sure when you put it on the car, it's very visible from the window, because the purpose is to see the criminal see the club on the steering wheel, and then they won't even bother getting in. But if you're going to put the club on a way where you can't see it from the window, they're going to break in first and think, oh, they got a club. But if they see it from the window, they'll avoid your car and move on to another one. It's, you know, you don't want them to move on to any car, but it happens.
One of the ways that I was told, we have Neighborhood Watch. I don't know if you ever heard of Neighborhood
Watch.
They
were in yesterday. The executive director of Neighborhood Watch was sitting in your seat yesterday.
Okay. So they also meet. We have a meeting at the COP house once a month on the third Monday of the month, where we invite neighbors who are having problems to come in and discuss them, because we have an officer there. And so we do that each month. So I have always worked with them even before I became alder, because they were trying to help with the police department on crime.
Hold it right there. We'll continue in a moment. Molly Jones is here. She's your second alder district person, and she is running again on April 2nd. Stay where you are. Wisconsin when this song came out. It came out in 1967. So you just got here, right?
In 66.
And that's it. So this song came out a year later. Lazy Days, Spanky and Our Gang. Molly Jones is with me. She is our second alder district representative right now, but she's running for re-election for the election on April 2nd. And we're talking about different things you're involved in. You mentioned a few minutes ago the Neighborhood Watch.
Yes.
And yesterday we had Susan Fearlock on, who's the executive director of the Neighborhood Watch, sitting in that very chair you're sitting in now. But you said you've been involved with them for years.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you do? Do you hang that sign in your window, or you just get involved in all their...
In the activities.
Yeah. Okay.
And
good for you.
They are heavily involved with the police department as far as trying to help prevent crime. And so I was like the chair of our meetings on the third Monday of each month. So I was involved in that way. Also helped when we did like neighborhood cleanups when I first became alder. I partnered with Neighborhood Watch, and we did cleanups in the area up until COVID came along. Because I became alder in 2016, like elected. And in 2017, 18, and 19, we had cleanups in the area because we have a lot of alleys in the second district. And people use them as the city dump sometime. So we get everything dumped from TVs to radios to refrigerators to tires. And so we did a cleanup each spring. And basically in conjunction with the city, they helped us by, we placed the items when we collected them over by the COP house on Mead Street, right across from Hamilton Park. So the city agreed to come and pick it up once we placed it there.
I never lived in a home that had an alleyway.
Yes.
And so I'm not that familiar with, I know what they are, but I'm not that familiar with them. You have a lot of alleyways in your district?
Quite a few. And they are littered and people dump in them all the time.
The people who live there or just outsiders come and dump in there?
We believe it's outsiders because
okay.
we get a lot of tires.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of flat screen TVs because if you take it down to the city.
They charge you $25.
$25 yeah. for the refrigerators, Freon items,
yeah.
the TVs, computer monitors. You pay $25. So rather than pay, they just dump them in an alley. But they always dump them behind someone else's property, which becomes a problem because then the court enforcement in the city give the homeowners the ticket for it being there. And if they don't move it, of course, the city will move it, and then they charge the homeowners. It's a problem. Not as bad as it used to be. A lot of people have installed cameras so they can see down the alley. So people sometimes kind of look and see there's a camera, so they don't dump, we think.
Well, when I was a janitor at a radio station when I first got started when I was 18, a lot of people would just slobs where I worked. And they would, I had a three-story office building. I had to clean every day. And they were and I went to the program director of the station. And I said, what do you do? These people are slobs. What can we do about it? And he left me with a phrase from 1972 that I think about almost every day. You can't dictate morality to people. And if they're slobs, you can't tell them not to be slobs because it's in their DNA to be a slob. And if they do nasty things and bad things, you can't tell them not to because it's in their DNA to be bad and naughty. So they do these kind of things. So I stopped fighting after a while at the station. And I said, all right, I just got to clean it up after these people. That's all I got to do because I can't dictate morality to them.
We were lucky once in an alley. The lady came out of her home in the backyard, and she saw this man unloading a pickup truck with garbage and items that he no longer wanted. And so she actually took his license plate number and a picture of him and his truck. So the police were able to go to him and make him come and clean it up.
Good for her.
But that was only once we were that lucky to catch who actually was doing the dumping.
Good.
But I told her, I said, that was very courageous of you to take a picture, and he knew you were taking his picture. She said, I told him I was going to report him.
Excellent.
And she did.
Okay, what about the homeless problem? And there is every city in America has got a homeless problem. It's just a matter of how big it is. And I know in Racine, there's a bit of a homeless problem. I know by the hospitality center on Main Street, a lot of people hanging around. There was a bar down the block, didn't want to deal with them anymore. He just closed it down. He said it was, you know, bothering his patrons, having people just sit there on his chairs and hang out all day that weren't paying and buying anything. And I know it's a problem. I know there are people down in their luck who just, for whatever reason, mental problem, or they just don't have skills, or they just gave up in life and they don't have jobs. What do we do about this?
It's an ongoing issue. In most cities, you will find the homeless. And apparently, if you go biblical, the homeless and poor will always be with us. That's what our Bible teaches us. And I don't want to get religious here, but so what to do about them, that is something that the council, I think when they wrote that letter, they were trying to get a discussion on what could be done. But that hasn't happened yet because winter months set in and you can't talk about displacing someone in the winter. So right now, it's kind of open for discussion on what can and can be done regarding the homeless in Racine. hopefully they could find some place to house them.
You hate to say it like that, you know. It's like warehousing.
You know. Well, no, you don't want a warehouse, but I don't know if we could do like we did with the Army people where you built these little homes for the veterans. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if...
There were 10 cities they built for the vets.
Yes.
Because they had nowhere to go.
Right. And the homeless people have nowhere to go. They are basically homeless, and most of them are jobless. And so they don't have any place to really go.
So you and I are blessed. We have a home to go to at night.
Yes.
And you really are blessed when you have a place to go at night and family to go to. A lot of people don't have that. I don't know how a homeless person deals with the winter in a city like Racine.
Well, they do go over by Halo.
Okay.
And Halo tries to find them houses. And in some instances, they do find them a home, temporary apartment where they can live. So a lot of people, they go in to Halo and they stay the night. But I understand that at 7 o'clock, they have to leave in the morning. And then they can come back at night and stay the night, especially in the winter.
So do you have any suggestions other than building more housing? I mean, what can we do? I mean, I don't want to do what some cities do, just bust them to another city and make it somebody else's problem like Texas did. They just bust these people out of there and just drop them off on a street in Washington. That you can't do. Is there, maybe there is no answer.
Right now, I don't know if we have an answer that can satisfy everyone. Mm. That's something open for discussion that we're going to have to work on.
What about city services? Are we good with, I mean, my garbage is picked up every, matter of fact, today. It's going to be 10 o'clock this morning. My garbage is picked up every week. My streets are always plowed. I live on a busy street, and the streets are always plowed. They're salted. I don't have a problem when there's a water main break that's fixed. When, you know, things have to be done with city services, it's taken care of. Is there anything we're missing here with the city services? Do you want to see more of and maybe something less of?
City services right now, I'm not sure if there's anything that we can do any different than what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Because the streets are plowed, especially the main arteries are plowed, and you ask to move your car if there's a snow emergency, and they announce there's a snow emergency, they ask you to move your cars. Unfortunately, some of our residents do not adhere.
I know.
Which does cause a problem, because when they do not move their automobiles, the plows can't plow the street. So once they dig themselves out and move, because we have alternate parking, the people that park on the street sometimes have to park around the corner from their homes because they can't plow. Because once it freezes, the plows doesn't come along and get it anymore. So it's a problem with that. But this has been a good season because we haven't had that much snow. So we haven't had that much problem because, as I stated, people aren't moving their cars like they should for alternate parking.
Here's another problem with when people don't move their cars. When they plow, get it all over with. I'll shovel my driveway. I'll plow it out. But when people don't move their cars, then they come by again. Now they put all that snow back again. We just got rid of it. But because some person was thoughtless, now I have to clean my driveway all over again because all that snow is being pushed back again.
I share that with you because I live, my driveway comes onto Jacobin Avenue. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. If someone doesn't move their cars and the plow comes along, it has to go around. When they do move their cars and the plow comes back, then when it gets to that clean opening, all the snow comes off the blade into your driveway. So that happens to me a number of times.
I think the last major thing with city services I had noticed was when Mayor John Dickard got the garbage pails, you know, the ones where they hook up to the truck, and he got the recycling bins, which I thought was great. So now you had, instead of doing two people on a garbage truck, you had one person. You don't need so many. I remember growing up, my father had this galvanized garbage pail. It was galvanized metal. He took my brother and I to lift it out to the curb, two people. And these garbage men did not like lifting that can up. It was very heavy, especially when it was loaded with stuff. It was very heavy. So one day they put it in the truck and they brought the clamper right down on it and broke it on purpose and threw it on our lawn. And my father called the city where I lived in and they said they didn't want to lift it anymore. So they busted it up for you. And they actually came out and just said it. So we had to get lighter weight garbage pails. But now it's real simple. They just hook it up, goes right in, doesn't matter how heavy it is. So, I mean, that was the last major service thing I noticed in the city, getting those things. And Mayor John Dickert did a good job at that. Very heavily into recycling. All right, just a moment or two here. We're going to ask you about what do you want to see in your district that's not there now? What pet projects do you have? I mean, other than paving the streets with gold, what... I think everybody wants to see that in their district. Are there things you want to see?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in a moment. Is there anything you don't want to see or you want to get less of in your district?
Less crime, of course.
Less crime, yeah. Well, that's always going to be. There's nothing you're going to be able to do about that.
Well, is it? I would like to see it.
Yeah.
We may not be able to do anything about it, but it was something I would like to see that
we
have less of.
There's always been crime from the day the Bible started to present day. They never got rid of it. Molly Jones is here. Molly is running in the 2nd Alder District. She is your incumbent. She's running for office once again, and that'll be on April 2nd. She has one person she's running against, Tyler Townsend, and you won the four-way. Was it four people running in the runoff in the primary? Now it's down to the final two. We're getting there. It's like the... This is like the brackets when you're in basketball. Down to the final two. The championship's coming up on April 2nd. It's 749. 749 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. Gorgeous morning out there. Clear. It's sunny. It's 33 degrees. A little cold for the first day of spring, first full day of spring. But it's nice. Beautiful day out there.
Me to face. I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof, it's peaceful as can be, and there the world below can bother me. Let me tell you now, when I
Drifters, going back to the 60s, Up on the Roof. What a great group they were. So many hit songs. 752 at WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen here at your civic media station, Hometown Radio Refreshed. My guest is Molly Jones, and she is running for the 2nd Alder District seat, and she already has it. She's running for re-election. She's the incumbent, and she's got the 2nd District, which is kind of a Butts Lake, Michigan, and goes from 11th to 24th. 4th, did you say before?
21st Street.
21st Street, and then it kind of weasels around a little bit.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And it also goes across the tracks to Phillips and GIC.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess my mother lived in your... she used to live at Lake Oaks. Is that your district?
Yes.
Okay. My mom lived in your district.
Oh, okay.
No, she doesn't live there anymore. Obviously, she's gone. But yeah, she used to live there for about 8 years with my dad, 8 or 9 years. So my mom was in your district. Thank you for taking care of her. I appreciate that.
Not at all.
Okay, so what do you want to see in your district that's not there now? And you'd mentioned you want to get rid of the crime, but what do you want to see there? What pet projects do you have? If I gave you a blank check right now and said, Molly, fill it out for any amount you want, but you got to spend it in your district. Look at your eyes opening up really wide on that one. I said blank check, and the eyes just opened up. If I could tell you you could spend it on anything in your district, what would you do?
I would get a grocery store. That is something we don't have in that part of town, is a grocery store. We have to go west or far north in order to find a grocery store. I would get some homes for people's low and moderate income. I would like to see more of them. We have a few that have been built by Habitat for Humanity and the city in the last few years, but I would like to see more, because home ownership would bring more tax revenue to the city, and it would provide a home for families who otherwise would be able to afford them, because we know that affects children as well when they're moving from one home to another one within the school year. Some children move two or three times a year. That's hurting them academically. So I would like to see homes sustained for people low and moderate incomes who otherwise couldn't afford them. So I would build some homes for the low and moderate income.
Well, that's a very nice thing you do with that blank check. That's good. Homes, supermarkets. You have no supermarkets in your district, huh? No major change.
No major change.
Yeah.
We have a couple of corner stores, but that's it.
Yeah.
The nearest one we find is the Piggly Wiggly's on Duran Avenue.
Yeah. Did the other Piggly Wiggly close down on Highway 20?
On Washington, yes.
They closed down, huh?
Yes.
Piggly Wiggly, the first supermarket in American history. They were the very first one ever. They, before there was any other big chain stores, Piggly Wiggly was the first supermarket in America.
They were before A&P?
They were before anybody. Piggly Wiggly was the first supermarket.
Didn't realize that.
Yep. Piggly Wiggly with Porky Pig. That's all, folks. That's their logo. Okay, so you're going to talk now to the voters. April 2nd is the election.
Yes.
And it's between you and someone else. So convince the voters right now. I'll give you all the time you want right now to talk to the voters directly.
Thank you. As I stated previously, or maybe we didn't get to that part, I've lived in the 2nd District for over 50 years. I moved there, bought a home, and moved there in 71. So I've been there over 50 years. I've seen parts of the district at worst, and the community that has now attracting new residents and some new homes that are being built. We have some new infrastructure that we've done over the past few years with streets and alleys that are being paved. But as we know, it's a process to get a street paved. The homeowners have input into that. And if the street is turned in that it needs to be paved, and more than 51% of the homeowners say they do not want it paved, then the city at that time is unable to pay it. So now that can be a problem. But just to say that you're working on it, some streets sometime are turned in to be paved. But like I say, if the homeowners decide that they don't want to pay for it, then it's diverted to the next years that it comes up. I'm also have a relationship with Habitat for Humanity that have built a few homes in the 2nd District for low and moderate income people. Some of my priorities are new development, which we have recently, Hotel Verdant is a development. We have on the Lake Avenue, we have the apartment, which is 233, that will be open in August of this year for market rate income. We have a project, Bell City Projects, where the old Horlick site used to be, Horlick Dam fight, that have low to moderate income people in there. So that will also help our tax base, because that will be revenue that's coming in from those buildings. We also have Gold Medal Loft, which we are voted on as a council. Work with Neighborhood Watch to help homeowners with their homes being repaired when the city has asked them to repair and they may not have the funds. I have worked with them. Collaborate with law enforcement to make our neighborhood safer.
Let me just stop you there, only because I'm out of time. I'm sorry. I just ran out. I'm sorry. Molly Jones wants your vote, and she's running in the 2nd Alder District for your vote April 2nd. So that's what she wants your vote. I'm Don Rosen. Enjoy your day.